Do you ever wonder what to preach about? Or even if you can preach? Where should you start if you're given the opportunity? What matters most so that you preach confidently and the congregation go home edified and inspired? Well, I have some answers for you in this episode of Tuesday Teaching Tips number 381, part of the Guidance for Those Hosting Worship series. This is part 8 on preaching. Today we're continuing the series and focusing on the topic of preaching, and most of what we talk about today also applies to teaching. Now, I have as many books on this topic in my library behind me as any other, so summarizing all of them is impossible, and indeed over 370 of my speaking tips are on my YouTube channel, so you can imagine this is not going to cover every issue. The play link to all of those is in the show notes, so you can look that up and have a look later. Search it for whatever you feel you need. Today, I'm going to restrict myself to a few basics. If you're an experienced preacher, consider this to be a refresher. If you are first time or inexperienced, then I hope you will find something useful for you here that will enable you to be used by God to get His word into the minds and hearts of people who so desperately need it. And by the way, I'm not defining preaching rigidly here in this episode. We're not laying out any format as superior to any others. Preaching can include just giving a talk or including a discussion or small group work or Q&A and a number of other styles. What matters, I believe, are the following issues of substance that make all preaching meaningful and helpful. Number one, Jesus. You might expect we could start there. So Jesus first. So the focus of every sermon is on some level about Jesus. The topic or the text might be on, say, Moses or Abraham, but remember to tie what we learn to Jesus. He is our ultimate focus and we're following him. So tie it to Jesus and our lives of discipleship to him. In other words, make your preaching relevant to us and our walk with Christ. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 5. For what we preach is not ourselves, or any other character or topic, we might say. Slight extension of what Paul's talking about here. We don't preach ourselves, but Jesus Christ as Lord. He's the ultimate focus of our preaching, and ourselves as your servants. That's who we are, and we are servants of the congregation. So whatever we talk about from whichever part of the Bible, we must tie it in some sense back to Jesus. So that's the first thing. Secondly, Jesus the example. So we've talked about Jesus, the focus. Now Jesus the example. Look at Jesus' example of preaching in his preaching and teaching as an inspiration for your own. Especially, I would say, the parables. I have a whole episode on that. So the link to that is in the show notes. So think about how he preached and taught, and look at his examples, and especially take your cue from the parables. Thirdly, inspire. Inspire your congregation. If you talk well about God as Father, about Jesus, about the Holy Spirit, our hearts, the hearts of your congregation, will be stirred by hope. That's how you get hope into the heart, talking about Father, Son, and Spirit. And stirring the hope will lead to a congregation who is willing and desirous of living by even greater faith and acts of love towards one another and people in this world. You see, inspiration, I would say this, you can disagree with me if you wish, but let me know in the show notes. Inspiration in preaching is more important than direction or information. I'm not saying information is not important. Context is always valuable. I'm not saying direction is unimportant. I think direction matters. But I would specify personally inspiration as being primary. If we give direction and information without the inspiration of talking about Father, Son, and Spirit, I think we've got a problem. So think about that combination and that priority. Next point, information. Having talked about how information is not as important, let's just talk a bit more about it. You see, it's a common mistake to think that conveying information about the text or the context or God himself is the most important thing. Now, we do need some background information, some context, enough to make the passage come alive, but only enough for it to come alive, not to give us every nuance of every issue. In our preaching, teaching's a bit different here, but in our preaching, we don't need to overdo the information. The chief function of preaching, I would submit, is to exhort. Teaching might contain exhortation, but we'll focus more on education. So think about how much information is in your sermon. Is it appropriate to the your ability and desire to inspire, or is it overwhelming that? Let's talk about exhortation also a little bit more. Exhortation is achieved not by volume. Exhortation is not about shouting. Exhortation is not about even energy, passion in a physical way. It's not about volume or any of those things. It's about connecting your congregation with the awesome and inspiring nature of the Father, of Jesus, of the Holy Spirit. And it is they who will move the heart and the will. Acts 13, verse 15, after the reading from the law and the prophets, the leaders of the synagogue sent word to them saying, "Brothers, if you have a word of exhortation for the people, please speak." They needed exhortation. So do we today. Figure out what that means for you and what it looks like. Next, be yourself in your preaching. Be yourself. Certainly take inspiration and lessons from other effective speakers. Of course, that's right to do that. But don't copy them. Take inspiration, not copying. Somebody said, preaching is truth through personality. We need your personality to come through. Otherwise, you're just going to sound like everybody else. I mean, are you trying to sound like somebody else when you speak? Please, please don't do that. You have a personality, your personality, that is yours for a reason. And when you read the public teachings of Jesus and then Paul and compare them, it's clear that they spoke very differently. Part of it was difference of context, but part of it was difference, I think, of personality. If the book of James is a collection of sermons, as many scholars think, they also sound very different when you read them to the teachings of Jesus, say. Isaiah, Jeremiah, Ezekiel, they're all different in their style as well as their content. Something about their personality was employed there. Imagine if every preacher sounded exactly the same. Not only would we get bored, but something more profound would be lost. Authenticity. Be yourself. Next point. One point. Have one point. Check the parables of Jesus. They almost always contain only one point. And sermons are generally best when they have one central point, which subpoints might develop, but only add to it and explain it. Don't distract from it and take us off in a tangent. Make sure when you're preparing your lesson that you can explain your sermon in one sentence. Once you can do that, you can be pretty confident you have a clear main point and then develop it. Length. Let's talk about length for a moment. As the author and speaker David Burceau said, "Your message may be nearly perfect in every other respect, but if you preach longer than you are supposed to, then you can quickly lose the goodwill of your listeners." That's from his book, Plain Speaking. Leave people wanting more, not less. The point about clarity, by the way, is essential to this, because I've noticed that the likelihood of overrunning increases in direct proportion to the lack of clarity regarding the lesson's point. And before you think I'm being judgmental of others, I'm just going to say that is my observation of myself. When I'm not as clear on my point, I ramble and go on longer. Not a good thing. We might tend to think we'd be shorter. It's not the case. So keep to the length you are assigned. So just to finish with a question here. Let's say you're finishing your lesson preparation for your next sermon. As you review it, ask yourself, what does this lesson look like for the congregation on Monday morning? Monday morning. Is it relevant in real life? Is, in other words, the question. How can your congregation apply what you are teaching them? If you can't answer that question, then rewrite your lesson until you can. It needs to work on Monday morning. And by the way, also, you might additionally ask yourself, is God the inspiration to that? In other words, not your ideas, your agenda, but the Lord himself. In conclusion, as you might imagine, in my 40 years of preaching, I have both used and abused all of the tips I've given you today. The perfect lesson does not exist, and that's fine. The goal for any speaker, you or me, is not perfection, but growth. I have a lot of teaching tips I mentioned earlier. Look at the playlist for the 370-odd preaching and teaching tips and counting. Search there for any topic you need. If it isn't there, then let me know and I'll do something on it. I'll make a video, I promise. If you have any thoughts, please speak to me about this topic. And next time we will explore the significance of the closing prayer in our Sunday assemblies. Till the next time, remember to keep calm and carry on teaching. God bless.